evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from the skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. Vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew from high school would post whatever it was that they felt like posting, because that's what you do with Facebook, and I posted stuff that corrected their stuff because that's the way to do things, which is post what you want, and was told I shouldn't be doing that way because that's not the way that they want it done. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Eugene Tribble all over the place. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York. I was raised on Long Island, and I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York. Yes, the southern annexation of the Great White North. And I am an unabashed atheist. My apologies for being a little off. You'll find out why in a couple of moments when I get to the freestyle. Starting all the way to the west in Canada is Dallin.
Good evening, folks. Online, I'm known as Dallin. I was born and raised in central Canada to a Lutheran family. Religion did not play that important a part in my life, at least not in my family's life. They always encouraged me to think, always ask questions, and always have an open mind. This has served me well over my personal and professional life thus far. And I was more of the live and let live variety of person until I started taking a really hard look at what fundamentalism was doing to my friends in the South and in places abroad. And that was when I realized it was time to take a side. And I chose the side of reason, rationality, logic, and atheism.
Moving to the east in Canada into Ontario, Heretic Woman.
Hey there. Born and raised in southwestern Ontario, grew up in the United Church of Canada, which is pretty liberal. Then I did a dumb move and joined a Calvinist sect for a while. That was not so fun. I've been an atheist now for 25 years, and I am now an active atheist, doing what I can to spread the even better news.
Moving to the south, me into Pennsylvania, and Joey.
Sorry about that. Had myself muted. Good evening, folks. Name's Joe. Was born in Chicago, Illinois, to a Roman Catholic family. Spent most of my time in Ohio. Served 8 years in the United States military. And am now living as a graphic designer and atheist in snow-laden Pittsburgh.
Our best hopes for you over there, of course. Moving down south into Maryland, Unrenown Tech.
Hi, folks. My go by Unrenown Tech, as you've been previously informed of, and proof that this show is neither kosher nor halal, I will eat a pork rind. I'm an atheist. Sometimes I'm anti-theist, depending on how much crap I hear in the news about people trying to pressure religion onto others when it's unwanted, unwelcome, and unnecessary. I grew up in with a mixed religious background, so I got to touch different flavors of the Judeo-Christian faith. I studied other religions as well as I continued to mature in life. I practiced even some Christianity for a time. And after a while, I came to the conclusion that it's all crap. It's all stories. It's all hearsay. There's no evidence. There's no truth. And if there were any truth anywhere, it's been so distorted, so taken out of context, that it doesn't exist anymore.
And moving across the pond over to France and Joseph.
Hello. My name is Joseph, originally from London, Ontario, Canada. I grew up not really in religion, but familiar with it, and we were church-going people. And I started not understanding what it was all about pretty young, and later I found out what wasn't to understand. And I moved here to France in 1989, and I've been here ever since.
Thank you all for being with us tonight. Of course, if you're watching live, please, by all means, take advantage of the question and answer system here on the Google Hangout page. More than happy to handle any questions that you throw at us, especially to, who knows, maybe actually break the double digits for live viewership. We would greatly appreciate that, and yes, we are working towards a couple of things behind the scenes. It's just taking a little bit of time, and we got stuff to tell you about in a little bit. Before I get to the five-minute freestyle, I want to send a very large, if guarded, thank you to the folks over at Cognitive Dissidence, which would be Tom and Cecil. I want you guys to know that it is because of your show that I decided early in the week that I was going to talk about this and screw all else. You'll see why it's a little tough. Some of us on the panel have kids. Most of us don't. I am fortunate enough to have an incredibly brilliant and wonderful human being who is 12, going to be 13 this summer. She is an amazing individual, as several of the panelists will tell you. And if you look back through the show, you'll actually find one of the episodes she was on, which she would really like to do again. I taught her a lot of stuff. I taught her how to do long division, much to her first grade teacher's squirming about it, telling me, let me teach him short division first, please. But I also taught her something really, really important to me. And apologies, the Hangout is coming through on my phone. I taught her a couple of rules about fighting. Rule number one about fighting is, don't. Rule number two is, if you have to fight, you fight to win. Rule number three is, you don't fight on somebody else's turf. You go somewhere neutral. And rule number four, if somebody is down, if you put somebody down, you leave them there. If they choose to re-engage, you go back after them. But if they're down, you leave them there. You use the minimum effort, the minimum power necessary. So I'm going to break that rule. I'm going to break that rule crazy hard right now of not attacking somebody when they're down. Because as I've said on many an occasion, it's the right thing to do. And this hurts because in order to do this, I have to cross the border to the north. She made the news internationally, to the best of my knowledge, at least beyond North America. A young 11-year-old girl who had a 75% chance of surviving leukemia, who said, this chemo is too tough on me. I don't want to do it anymore. It's hurting me. And decided she didn't want to do chemo anymore and opted for naturalistic, homeopathic, crazed, nothing to do with anything that's going to help except to empty a wallet just so that she could die. I'm going to go ahead and kick the parents, and I really don't want to. You had one job. You were the steward of a new life. You had somebody who needed your protection from her own damned self. The hell is wrong with you? Yes, cancer sucks. And yeah, in some cases, the treatment is even worse for a time. But take your pick. Would you rather go through a year of hell so that you could live 75? Or would you rather just piss it away? Literally, piss it away. And have nothing but regrets for the rest of your life. You just put your daughter into the ground because you couldn't stand up for her the way that she needed. How ignoble a life. How terrible a price. My wife didn't even hit 35 years old, and we had people who said that was too short a life. Your daughter was 11. You had better things to do for her. She had better things that she could have done. She had 70 plus years ahead of her in life expectancy. So now what? What are you going to do? You're not just going to go down to the store and pick up another daughter and start all over again. You're not going to, from what I understand, face any kind of legal charges for negligence of any kind. And even the doctor is not going to see anything. And doctor isn't even a word that I would use. The words that I would use, I would not utter in any company, mixed or otherwise. You're bad parents. The only thing that you're good at is being shown to be an example to the rest of us all. May your God have mercy on your soul. This is episode number 51, The Prime Merlinian. Now, I said in the description that I was going to take a page from the movie The Sorcerer's Apprentice, which is arguably not a great movie. It's got some good parts to it. I mean, let's face it, Alice Krieg, if I remember the name correctly, who was Morgana in this movie, was the Borg Queen in Star Trek. So, you know, there's something badass right there. She's a tiny woman. Cute as a button, but tiny, tiny woman. And I got to looking at the number for the episode, and I'd just seen the movie, and I'm just like, we should talk about magic, because, well, hell, 51's a prime number. Except I found out it's not. So we're going to be dealing with what I thought was a prime number, which actually isn't, to talk about magic, which actually isn't a thing. So to go along with the opening, who's got a magic item that they wish would just go the hell away? A mind-body wallet kind of thing? Who wants to go ahead and open up the roll of dice? Don't all talk at once. You've got your muted buttons on. You know that. Joey!
I'm trying to be polite about it by, you know, yes, teacher.
Yeah. Queen teacher?
First, since you had to mention that damn movie, I must mention this. Not the bees!
Yes, well.
Second, and most of you get what the hell I'm talking about. Second, you want to know what magic item I wish would just go the fuck away?
I'm assuming magic. Your F-bombs.
Oh, right.
It's all right. It's all right. Go on.
Magic 8-Ball.
Wait.
You have done nothing but lie to me all these years. I put my trust in you.
Maybe what you should do is just drink the blue magic water and see what you get then. How's that?
Wait. We're talking about putting my trust and faith in an item that is questionable at best, and now you're telling me to drink the blue liquid?
Maybe that's where all the precognitive power lies. Who knows?
I mean, I've got Kool-Aid. I've got the raspberry Kool-Aid.
Look at it. It was made by Eastern mystics.
You didn't think I could segue this into that, could you?
Wait, there's an idea. raspberry Kool-Aid mixed with absinthe. The real absinthe.
Okay,
the hallucinogen you need.
No. Having seen what actual absinthe, European absinthe, does to people, No. Capital N, small O, small N, big O, no!
How about this? If you drink the blue magic fluid out of the magic 8 ball, you will then be working with approximately 20% of your brain power instead of... Oh, wait, no, that's going backwards.
You'll be normal.
No, actually, to use somebody else's line, you'll be dead.
Tell you what.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's, okay, you know, speaking of magic and stuff, you know, we... You can't really talk about magic and skepticism without talking about James Randi. Say what you will about the guy.
Yeah.
Go for it.
You know how one of his things was he would always, you know, take a bottle of woo tablets of whatever they were and just chow down on them at a con or something like that.
Sleep aids.
Yep.
Yeah. Tell you what, as far as this whole magic 8-ball thing goes, let's wait for him to chug it before the rest of us try it. Just to make sure, you know.
This is true, and if he turns blue, looking like a Smurf, he's got the beard. All we got to do is just give him the red pants and pop a Smurf. It is. How's that?
And then everybody breaks out into the Smurf singing chorus, at which point the world ends.
Joseph,
he said he was retiring too. By the way,
well, it's about freaking time. Give everybody else a chance.
Well, he's. 86. He's come under fire a little bit lately, hasn't he?
I don't know anybody else who's doing what he's doing.
Yeah. What's he come under fire for?
I don't know. I thought I read something somewhere about some allegations or something. Now, that could have been someone else trying to do some smearing or something like that just because, well, because reasons. It's nothing I would actually talk about too much without getting more verification as to what it was about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've been more throwing shit.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Tech, I hear you pounding.
Fantastic. All right, are we still on the same topic?
Sort of. James Randi, since he was just brought up for a couple seconds over here, drinking the blue fluid out of the magic 8-ball, and if he turns blue, maybe the rest of us shouldn't do it. He's been doing good stuff. You got a little something you want to say about James? Should I call him Mr. Randi?
I really don't have much to say about the guy.
Okay, sure. That's okay. Thank you.
Sorry, it's not one of those big topics for me. If we're still on the topic of who though and things we'd like to see goodbye, I would like to see the magnetic bracelets.
Go bye-bye. Oh, yeah.
I like this a lot. Yeah. Quick synopsis on them. Go ahead.
Well, the idea is, and they came out a while back, and I tried one for a while and experienced a placebo effect from it because, well, I was an idiot. Idea is that by using magnetic fields, you can influence the energy flow through your body and thereby cause positive effects, or at least cancel out negative effects. The problem is that if you measure the magnetic fields that are put off by most of these devices, most of them are powerful enough to penetrate the human body in the first place, especially if you wear it outside of, like, a sleeve. If you wear it in direct contact with your skin, chances are is you're not even passing the nerve endings. And the ones that are powerful enough, well, you really don't have that much in your body that's, you know, manipulated by magnetic fields. The only thing that can really be affected is your brain. And even then, if that little tiny thing could do it, an MRI would frickin' kill you.
Yeah.
I think
the only thing that's modified that can even be affected by magnetism is the iron in your blood, your iron content. That's it.
And they've already determined that, you know, there is not enough iron in your blood to be affected by something like that. That once again, this goes back to, for people who don't know, MRI is it stands for magnetic resonance imaging. Okay, what it does is a tunnel. They stick you on a flatbed. They make sure there is absolutely nothing metallic, not even an earring or a tongue ring, on your body. Because if they turn the machine on, there is, it's going to get ripped out. Okay, and what happens is they slide you into this big tunnel that's noisy as hell because it's a giant electromagnet, and they pass electromagnetic waves through your body, and they scan your brain. You can also do other parts of the body, but it was predominantly first used for brain imaging because there's a long scientific story behind it, and I'm not going to get into it. But the point is that if those kinds of if a weaker version of that field could have any effect on your body, going into that tunnel would basically be a death sentence. And it's not. We use it all the time for scanning and imaging our brains and other various parts of our body without causing interference to our body, other than really loud noise, and now you get to wear like earplugs, that stuff. Other than that, there's nothing else to it. So if MRI, as powerful as they are so powerful. If you look at movies where somebody's broken into a hospital, they accidentally walk into an MRI room, they've got a gun, the MRI switches on, and the gun gets ripped out of their hand. Yeah, they really are that powerful, okay? If that kind of field could do anything at all to our body other than provide imaging, they would never have used it for medical science.
Yep. Now there's also another piece about this, and Katie has gone ahead and put something in the Q&A. And by the way, thank you. I'll get to that in just a second. I think we can pretty well put the. I was going to say we could put the nail in the coffin of this whole thing, but let me get to what Katie put first in the Q&A. Katie put, I quote, "It isn't just the magnetic bracelets on humans. The Wu doctors also sell them for horses. Magnets in leg bands, blankets, you name it, and people buy them. Go damn figure." I think that
yeah,
we
see,
can...
I knew about the blanket. Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. I think we can pretty well put the final nail in the coffin on this one very easily, very simply, and very effectively. If there was enough magnetic metal in our blood, Magneto would have already been exploiting it and exploded everyone he needed to instead of just ripping all the adamantium out of Wolverine's body. Case closed. Myth debunked. Done. I don't think that we really need to cover anything else on this topic. Anybody else got something else that they need? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Is that why he's Amish now?
Damn, I don't think I beat that ever for any future episodes.
Well that played, sir. Well played.
Timing joke.
I don't know if you should be ashamed of yourself or proud of yourself.
I think there, that's dude. It. I think the show's over. We will never reach that kind of pinnacle of joke ever again.
Thank you so much for watching this entire series. We hope you enjoyed yourselves.
I thought something was Amish.
What's... God.
Oh.
Hey. Susan,
yes.
Look at a question that just popped up on screen, man.
Yeah, I was just noticing that.
Yep, and I just saw that myself.
Is that an ASL check or something, you know, from the old days of Urk? Or...
Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like.
I do not know, but you know what? I will go ahead and I will put this in here because we can't actually hit this one anyway. No, pun intended, so to speak. From Yayan, and by the way, thank you very much for chiming in. Whether you are serious or not, the fact is that you took the time to go ahead and write to us. So the question is, and again, I quote, "What is the sex?" Well, okay. Now, like I said, I know that there is a very good possibility that this is just a drive-by person who's just trolling and having fun. Mm-hmm. But there is still a serious part to this. There is still a lot of woo, a lot of mysticism and magic that goes along with sex, which is a tad annoying. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to embrace the troll, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to use it because it's going to make it a lot easier on my brain instead of coming up with something. So
may I respond to this?
By all means.
actually, I'll think. I don't know if anybody here is aware, but there was actually a time period in where it was thought that by inducing an orgasm through non-sexual contact, so basically third-party devices, if you will, whether it was electrostimulation or
magnetism,
just a piece of wood, whatever, it was thought to bring about a positive effect. Now, they got that part right. They just didn't understand that how in what way they were right and what way they were wrong. They were thinking in terms of like cures for tuberculosis and colds and things like that. In case, not so much. It does help stimulate the immune system and the all the chemicals that the brain produces, like endorphins and morphine, things like that, which is why so many people feel good after they've had it. Really, you know, had really good intercourse or self-stimulation. Both worked in similar methods in terms of endorphin production. And sure, it does have, over time, positive effects on the body. In fact, it's actually required to help keep your body in a certain amount of good shape. Yep. But
okay.
They had it full of woo for a while about curing diseases and stuff.
True enough. Joey.
He's over there laughing at us.
Diane over there.
hold on, because I can explain. While you're discussing this, and I'm looking over at Katie's comment where she's talking about how she smiled and waved back to you and then realized that you couldn't see it. I have Billy Zane from Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight, in my head. If it makes you feel good, do it.
You know, there's nothing. You know what? That's exactly a good place where I was hoping that we'd be able to go. Heretic Woman, you're the token double X on the panel over here. If it feels good, do it. Anything particularly wrong with that one?
Well, consent needs to be part of that for starters. Yeah. So if you don't have somebody who can consent, which might be due to age or due to mental capacity, you know, the typical slippery slope we always hear with animals. I'm sorry, animals do not have the capacity to consent. So all of the above, you must have consent. Now, if you've got consenting adults, then I don't care what the hell they do in the privacy of their own room. Or how many of them, or what configuration, I don't care. But you got to have the consent.
Ironically, in Japan, is required for this service, but there is actually a industry in the healthcare industry where they have workers who go around to people who are disabled, but who can prove that they can consent and everything else, and that they, you know, desire this service and everything else. Mm-hmm. And supposedly the insurance companies are allowing this to be claimed and everything else. But what they do is they go around and they provide sexual release, not by actually having sex, but basically they're third-party masturbatory service. And the understanding is that by, even though giving them this release will not only physically help their body, but also mentally help them.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
provide that release and everything else. So there's already a country, at least a section of a country, that understands how important that is. And go, you know, they've taken the woo out of it, and they made it an honorable position, honorable job. Whereas here in the country, you'd still be arrested for that shit.
Thank
so
you for
somehow I get the feeling that this is not going to be a new thing on Obamacare.
Probably not. Okay, now
re-education and sex, you need it. Well, if you remember, if you're not disabled, you can't get this service. These are people who have, like, you know, like their arms don't work, their legs don't work, things like that, you know?
They can't take care of themselves in that manner.
Exactly. There was a whole news or a whole report done on it, and it's very interesting to either read it or watch the news presentation of it.
Okay. Joseph, I'm going to come over your side, because there's a certain amount of woo as far as sex is concerned, because France, because it's the love country of, like, the world, well, the United States. And, I mean, there is...
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir, you know?
Can you say that again?
Yeah, cue the cliche there.
Get the lotion.
The woo, of course, has always been, from time immemorial, I couldn't even tell you how long it is, that France is the love capital of everyone and everywhere and everything. And where do you have any idea, having lived there all this time, is there anything that you can think of that could even come close to supporting that, as opposed to, you know, any other old country with incredible rich history and beautiful architecture and everything?
Supporting what? Sorry, the woo? There's not really much woo about it here. It's just everybody here is pretty individualistic, and if it feels good, do it. It's basically about that. France is basically, I do what I want because this makes me feel good, and that's it. And sex is kind of one of those standards. I don't know. It's a given. It's taken for granted.
My understanding of Europe is that they're a lot more open with sexuality, that they're more... Yes. Mature about it, and that they can use it a lot more in their commercials than we would ever get away with here in the States.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Because, just driving down the highway here, a lot of the billboards you'd see would normally in the United States would probably make people drive off the road. But
maybe we should get some of them down here then.
And, I mean,
you could get away with it here in the States if you put four Jesus at the bottom of it.
This is true.
So,
real close.
As an example, when I was in Romania, the company that I worked for, we had a dress code here in Canada where in the summer you couldn't have like a sleeveless top. You had to have at least like, I don't understand what like an inch of a cap sleeve makes a difference, but whatever. But over in Romania, it was like everybody wore, like, because it was summer, everybody was wearing sleeveless. So, and nobody even, like, the higher ups in the company, you know, forget wearing a suit. They're going to wear, well, ladies anyway, they're going to wear like a nice tailored sleeveless dress and be comfortable instead of worrying about keeping the top of your fucking shoulders. Sorry, your shoulders. I've been
walking around with their ass hanging out or anything like that, right? Or their underwear showing,
well,
anything like that.
Actually, there was a trend. This was in 2012, and the trend that year was for sheer, like a micro mini skirt with a sheer longer skirt over it, and then to wear like a skimpy camisole or even just a bra with like a see-through shirt. And I even saw, like, you know, younger, like I would say ladies in their 50s and 60s who are grandmas walking around dressed like that.
Yeah, today we call her Madonna. So where are we going to go with this? There is a listening to a lot of the other podcasts, for example, listen to some of the guys from Australia. They typically refer to the mind-body-spirit wellness kind of shows as mind-body-wallet. And
yes.
I completely understand that. Dallin, I'm going to start over with you because you haven't exactly had a lot of screen time at the moment. And I mean, truth be told, it's perfectly fine by me. Have you taken any of your good hard-earned money and actually gone to one of these events just to sit there nice and just, you know, that's real interesting. Okay. you know, and just see how much you can make, you know, a reader squirm or anything like that.
Not,
or if you wanted to do that.
Oh, have I wanted to? Definitely. I've been looking forward to something like that showing up in this town just so that I can go and get a sense of what's going on. There are, and I'm ashamed to say that there have been members of my family who have bought into some of the woo. I had one relative, I will not say which one it was, but they were into actually the magnet thing. And they did the sales pitch. You've probably seen this one where you're standing next to your person or whatever, and you have them put their arms out, and then you try to knock them down. And that's fine. And then they say, okay, now put on the shoes or, you know, step where these insoles are. So you step on the magnetic insoles. So they try to do the same thing, and they can't. Have you guys seen that one?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
That one is actually, I can't remember what show I saw it on, but it was completely debunked. And it was just in how you stood, where you put your center of gravity that prevented them from knocking you over.
Yep.
Well, the other part of the debunk was proof that once you physically experienced what they were going to do to you, your body subconsciously changed its center of gravity, and you know you would tense up certain muscle groups and whatnot, you know, just in preparation for it. Mm-hmm. And they did that debunk with somebody who was saying, well, Reiki, you know, you can pull energy and give energy, and if I pull this away, I'm going to pull it away, and they wave your hands over you, they do the whole push you over thing, and they say, now I'm going to give it back, and I won't be able to do it. And there's some, what they're doing is they're putting messages in your head, and then suddenly they can't push you over.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
that with lots of woo.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of the things that has typically brought up this kind of thing would be the hologram stuff. And what they'll typically do is, in addition to, you know, being expecting getting pushed, pulled, whatever the heck the case is, where center of gravity and everything, is it also depends as to how the tester is pulling and pushing. Because if you're doing it up and down directly, It's you know, you typically will stay stationary and
okay, why is it that we were just talking about masturbation a minute ago and now you're talking about pushing and pulling up and down directly? Come on, man.
Because if you push up and down on somebody, they will typically stay the way that they're supposed to stay, and if you're pushing and pulling in and out of the body, they will fall over. And, Joe, you know, you're not helping my case here at all. And I, you know,
he's dying over there.
Okay, so Dallin, the whole. All right, they done the magnetism.
Yeah, so they did that. My dad was heavily into copper. You've heard this one?
Oh, God, yeah.
The copper bracelet that's supposed to help with arthritis. Now, my dad did have very bad arthritis, and
they're called handcuffs.
Got a placebo thing from it? I never knew.
No, Joseph, those are not called handcuffs, because those are nickel-plated. I should know. Go on, Alan.
But based on that copper bracelet thing, I've seen a lot of those. You go through the mall kiosks, you see the positive energy ones, you know, that just about every skeptic and their dog has debunked over and over again. Those ion bracelets?
The Q-ray?
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. But I'm seeing something else now, too. I'm seeing shoes, track gear, like jackets, mm-hmm. shirts, shorts that are now apparently laced with copper. Did I catch that right? Like, this is now supposed to be like some...
a hunk of copper in your shorts.
Yeah. Now look, I grew up in a place where, you know, copper is a mainstay of the economy there. I mean, they mm-hmm. mine it, they refine it, they send it out. So, I mean, okay, if it helps the metal price, I'm not going to complain too much because, you know, I got family to think about. But still, am I going to drop $300 in a pair of shoes because it's got some copper in it? No.
No, you're going to drop $300 in a pair of shoes because it's got the name Michael Jordan on it.
Yeah, and even then I won't do it. Although, I will say, I did buy a pair of Nikes last time I was in the States. It was down in Texas.
They are, I have to admit, for the amount of money I paid for them, they're just a pair of regular running shoes. But they actually have lasted me quite long, so I got to say something about the quality.
I spent $200 on my Atheist shoes, but those suckers are worth it.
Yeah. Now, Joseph, that little quip about tying that in with sexual magnetism. Everybody, no, think of it this way. If there was something about enhancing performance by wearing a pair of magnetic jockey shorts, don't you think we all would be?
Mormons?
I'd be the only one.
No, I'm not talking real magic underwear here.
And truth be told, if there was anything like that, we would have heard about it because it would have been the second group of photos distributed by 4chan from all the guys at the TSA who were downloading the images from the scanners.
Oh man, could you imagine wearing something like that and then going through the metal detectors?
Oh boy.
Sir, can you take your underwear off, please? Yes, I can, but not for you.
Excuse me, but this is getting a bit of a sensitive subject for me. I mean, I have more metal permanently in my person than most people can claim, and I already have plenty of issues with the TSA. No, you can't put your hand there.
Yeah, now that's actually something that's worth talking about because this kind of dovetails together with the copper bracelets. One of the things that I remember hearing about these was not the magnetic part because, I mean, copper is not magnetic.
No.
Let me rephrase. With enough power, pretty much anything is magnetically attracted, but to hold a magnetic charge, I guess is the right term for it, copper does not do that. It simply will not, because physics. However, I do remember that there are a number of those bracelets, like you were talking about, Dow, where the premise was that the ions from the copper will leach into the skin, into the body, and will... not physics, I guess, is the best thing to help things like Jesus, what the hell was it? Arthritis, and all that kinds of stuff. Hold on a second, Joey. Let me get you back for a second. The metal that you've had in you at this point, and of course, you know, forgive me. I know full well lead has been part of it, unfortunately.
Still is.
What kind of stuff do you?
Primary component of any medical implant, shall we say, that's generally the umbrella term given to them, generally speaking, is titanium. Being that it is lightweight, and it is, for the most part, non-reactive. And that's very important, because you introduce a reactive metal into a big bag of chemical reactions... and you tend to have problems.
Just a few.
For instance, the whole reason why we don't use iron for internal implants is because iron is probably the single most reactive metal component in the human body, period. It's what allows red blood cells to carry oxygen from the lungs throughout the rest of the body. That's why blood is red, because it's oxidized iron in those cells. It's rust.
Ferrous oxide, for those of you that want to be like super geeky and have something worth talking about. By the way, the second one that you should really remember about is silicon dioxide, I think is the right term for it. You should look it up. It's actually pretty important stuff. Don't inhale that, but silicon dioxide is actually pretty important for a lot of stuff. Super expensive, too. You should really look into like cornering the market on that shit. Because if you can find like a little bit of it, you'll be golden.
But we tend to focus on metals like that. That's why it's not uncommon to hear about, for instance, gold and silver being used in people's teeth. Because, again, both of them – silver is somewhat reactive, but not nearly as much as other metals. Gold, in particular, is one of the least reactive metals that we have access to. That's what makes it so precious. It's – gold doesn't generally tarnish. It's very hard to alter the state of gold. So you and it's malleable, so you can shape it however you want. That's why gold was such, and still is, such a huge staple economically. Because its worth isn't going to change. Say you have a lump of iron, and that's worth a certain amount, but over the years, that iron begins to rust and decay from the outside inward, or, you know, unless there's some kind of breach.
Anybody with a car from the 70s will tell you that.
But gold typically won't do that.
Exactly right. Heretic Woman, what kind of... best of my knowledge, I don't believe that you have any actual medical training of any kind, but we've got this item that came through from Ashley.
Ashley. Hello.
Thank you. I'm actually going to have you address this one in particular because, sure. I mean, you know, girl. Ashley typed over here for the Q&A, Bobby's mom is trying to get me to buy him a copper knee brace. Do it. Take it.
Oh, good grief. So many people get caught up in this crap. It's ridiculous. Like, my stepfather, he goes for the woo like crazy. He goes to a naturopath. He comes home with bottles of stupid things that no one knows what they do. But worse, like what Bobby's mom's trying to do, he is trying to, like, go to relatives and talk to them about, oh, well, I read about blah, 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 and you should do this. And my uncle has Parkinson's. He went to my uncle and tried to, like, convince him that some kind of woo crap would be good for his Parkinson's. And I think my mom just about relegated him to the sofa for a month when that happened. It's ridiculous. It's bad. Like, we really had to be like, dude, you gotta can it. Because, I mean, he was accosting me and because what the hell was it now? It was something to do with aspartame or something. This was back when I was drinking a lot of Diet Coke. And, I mean, drinking huge quantities of pop isn't good anyway. But, I mean, he was like, ooh, aspartame, it gives you cancer and blah, blah, blah. I'm like... What? Where are you getting this crap from?
It supposedly turns your brain into formaldehyde or something like that.
Yeah. It was some kind of crap like that. Well, but, you know, this stuff isn't new. I mean, my grandmother had really bad arthritis, and she was wearing these magnetic bracelets back in the 70s. And they were like these elasticized bracelets with, like, little fake gemstones in them with little magnets, and she was all like, oh, it makes my arthritis feel better. It's crazy. So yeah, I'm hopefully Bobby's mom will get a clue and realize that, you know, medicine is the thing for that.
Yeah. Tech, really quickly, best of my recollection, the only time I've ever heard of knee braces that were, you know, metal as opposed to, you know, nylon with, you know, hook and loop fasteners, because I don't want to use the actual, you know, trademark term. Weren't those typically used for kids that were, you know, I don't know, polio stricken or something like that?
In the beginning, a lot of knee braces were actually made out of metal, not because they felt that the metal was going to provide any kind of special woo-woo healing, but because it was sturdy material, and we didn't have the level of composite plastics that we do now. I, for a while, actually was required to wear a knee brace because my kneecap was whatever it is that holds a kneecap in place had weakened somehow. And so my kneecap could actually slide around if I twisted my leg the wrong way. So while the various muscle groups and everything else were healing and whatnot, I had to wear a knee brace. Now, the knee brace I got was relatively new, and it had really thick, really stiff plastics in it that had been rounded so as not to poke my leg or anything that might run into it, whereas the metal ones, you know, if you jab yourself in the leg with a metal stick, that's going to hurt really, really bad. possibly cause some damage, where this was blunted, and it was, and since it was a plastic composite, it had limited but some flexibility to it. So it kept my legs straight, it kept everything oriented, but if I twisted a little bit, it didn't cause pain. And it, like I said, it was a relatively new design for the time. Yes, and missed half the battle. I'm responding to something that popped up in chat. But the point is that I had never heard, I'd never, ever in my life. Now, mind you, I've been to a chiropractor. And the reason why I went to a chiropractor was to realign my spine because I threw a couple discs out my neck. And that hurt like a, we're not playing a Power of 10 episode. I can't say. The pain is unimaginable, people. Mm-hmm. The doctors told me that, told my mother over the phone when she called the hospital. It's like, oh, yeah, he's going to have surgery. He'll probably be on painkillers the rest of his life. She called the chiropractor who had reset some vertebrae in her spine. He said, as long as nothing's broken, I can probably pop the vertebrae back in. And that happened. But when it came to my knee, he said he wasn't going to touch it, that I needed to see a doctor because it was just a simple thing with my knee. And none of the doctors that I saw, while they may have disagreed, you know, the doctor and the chiropractor may have disagreed about my neck, the doctor never once told my mother, listen, you need to go get a knee that has copper in it or steel or whatever. No, he said, hey, try this new knee brace. It's made of, it's got composite plastics and it's supposedly more comfortable. That was more comfortable. Done. End of story. Game over.
Nice and simple there. Okay. We're going to talk about something that kind of touches on the copper part, sort of. Not exactly. Just go with me on this. Oh, by the way. No. By the way, actually, yeah, just we send me your address. I will get a collection together with the rest of the panel, and we will buy you a clue by four that you can hit somebody over the head with, and we'll take care of that for later.
The place I used to work at. The place I used to work at, I have three on order.
There you go.
Something tells me she may have one or two on hand herself.
Good. Okay, so kind of intersecting with the term of copper. The skeptic zone, for those of you that are unaware of it, for whatever reason, you know of us, but you don't know the skeptic zone. Wonderful podcast out of Australia, and they have recently been talking about, and I forget what this woman's actual full name is, but it is something Penny. I forgot what the hell her name was. She was supposed to be going to Australia on an anti-vax conference circuit speech thing and such. And the word got out of what she was going to be doing, and there were letter-writing campaign groups that were saying, we really don't think that she should be talking with folks. And, you know, letting the immigration folks there in Australia hear that she's going to be coming and talking about stuff that's going to be bad for public policy and the health and well-being of people. So you really shouldn't let her in the country.
Yay!
Well,
I just want to know who's paying her.
Well, yeah. there's the rub. Joey, shut up. There's the rub. She was going to be, she was contracted to several places where she was going to be speaking that mysteriously, after some time, got letters and such and said basically, you know, I don't really think that you should be having her because she's going to be talking about this, and this is what it's been doing to people in the United States and I believe the Gold Coast and a couple of other places in Australia where, you know, immunization is more a guideline than a rule. So she's been steadily losing places, and when she was down to only two venues left, they decided to cancel. So here's my piece. If we're going to talk about woo, we need to touch on the anti-vax shit. There's no other word for it, and I know that we've got two F-bombs, and now we've got shit. You know what? That's two. So here's my thing. Here's my question for y'all. And yes, I got the chance to talk to Bobby and Ashley. And Ashley recently, so on a personal thing. So thank you to them, by the way. And so now I got y'all stuck in my head.
It's okay. I've been with them every day for the last 3 days.
It's just like me when I come back from Oklahoma for about 2 weeks.
So here's the thing. The whole anti-vax thing is based off of a singular paper, a singular medical published paper that was crap.
And absolute redacted.
Crap. And redacted, exactly. That was the next piece. And it has been completely disavowed. It has been shown time and time and time and time and time again that it's bull.
It's the guy who wrote crap. It was barred, I think, even from being a doctor, if I'm not mistaken.
Quite right. And to the best of my I'm thinking of Boghossian. That's a different one. We're going to hit him anyway. But why can anybody tell me why anybody would believe this crap after all this time? After so many times around of it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. It's a sample size that was selected that comes down to maybe 9 children when we have umpteen million cases of good outcomes.
That's the media. They're not putting the real story out there, and the media thrives on controversy.
And a lot of people don't take the time to really understand the bigger picture. Like you said, understanding that sample sizes can make or break a study, your average Joe isn't going to know about that. I mean, I'm lucky I took statistics in university and I have a clue about it. And people aren't going to understand that you can't get good empirical data with 9 subjects. They're just going to see the conclusions like, you know, guy has a doctorate, guy did study, guy concluded this, and that's all they're going to go with. Plus, you get that whole notion, excuse me, from the credulous folk who suddenly think, ooh, well, I know, you know, government's out to get me, and there's a conspiracy somewhere, and even though they're saying it's wrong, that doctor was probably the only one telling the truth, and now they're trying to silence him, and just horseshit like that. And that's where the Jenny McCarthy's of the world come into play. They pull in on this crap, and then they disseminate it again under the umbrella of, hey, I'm famous, so what I say matters, you know.
See, what you were just saying, you had me thinking about the line about how chemtrails were killing angels. Dallin, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, God.
No, I was actually just going to – I was just agreeing with what Heretic Woman said about the conspiracy angle. You've got the Glenn Becks. You've got the Alex Joneses. And actually, have you guys ever listened to anything from this Alex Jones guy?
No. Oh, wait. Yes, I have.
Well, I'll tell you what. To keep you from, like, the full dose and making you want to shoot yourself – I'll plug a blog done by somebody known as Wildwood Claire. It's called Coffee with Claire.
Yes, I've seen it.
Wait a minute. This isn't the whole semen in the coffee thing, is it?
No. That's Manning. That's somebody else. No, okay. Alex Jones is one of those survivalist conspiracy theorists. Chemtrails, Yellowstone Park is going to blow up, and the government's and not telling
FEMA,
you.
FEMA camps for everyone.
Yeah, all of that stuff. But the thing is, people like him and others of his ilk are still spreading all this crap.
Yeah.
You know, because it stirs the controversy. It keeps the fear going, and then, you know, he can push his, what was it, super mega test. He's actually got a product he's trying to sell.
He does.
Something, a supplement. And honestly, I was thinking of actually buying a bottle just to see what was in it so that I could laugh at it. And maybe pull a James Randi and eat it here on the air one night, you know.
That'd be fun.
but yeah, no, the whole anti-vaxxer thing. Yeah, like look at Disneyland. Look what just happened there recently. You know, you're getting all these cases of measles because there were a couple of unvaxxed kids there.
Yeah.
And now I've heard a couple sides of this where people have said, you know, well, you shouldn't blame the parents and you shouldn't be infringing on their freedom. I'm like, where does my freedom to walk around in the open, where does that begin and yours end?
Like those little babies at Disney World that weren't even old enough to have been vaccinated, and they get friggin' measles because some dumbass wants to not vaccinate their kid.
Well, and think about other children who, due to some other underlying medical condition, can't be vaccinated. So they're relying on the herd, like the herd immunity, to keep them protected. But now you're going to start throwing all of these, I hate to say it, but, you know, plague bombs at them, because you got parents who are too freaking stupid to, you know, choosing to kind of go back to your freestyle. They had one job, and they failed.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you can tie this in with, you know, religions largely responsible for this, because, I mean, anything in the religious mentality, anything outside of the flock is just automatically bad. So, like, outside, it's the others. Science is in the same category, and like medicine, too, even. If it's not taught by a spiritual leader, then it's questionable and should be doubted, and it's other. Well,
it's that whole silly notion that something is, quote, natural is always better for you. First of all, there is nothing on this planet that is not natural, because you can't have it unless it came from here. So, but the idea that, you know, it has to be something you dug up yourself and ground yourself or whatever. I can go out and, you know, find cyanide in nature, but I don't think we want to put that in our stuff.
Well, okay, and to those people that say, you know, well, everything that comes from nature is good for you, I got one word for you. Australia. Everything wants to kill you.
Everything.
Jake, we will have you back. Joey, yeah, go ahead. I'm going to get back to Joseph in a second, though.
I just feel the need to correct him. It's Strayek.
Yes, yeah, good point.
I'm not drunk enough to do accents tonight. Maybe next week.
Maybe. Well, we've got something that I'll tell you about next week in a couple of moments. So, Joseph, real quickly, by the way, because I'm very less familiar for your side of the pond. The anti-vax thing, of course, as we know, in Australia, in the U.S. especially, has picked up a lot of steam. What kind of – is there any kind of anti-vax tomfoolery going that you hear about in France or in the mainland?
No, there's two things going on here. One, the government gives free vaccinations. They actually even send you a letter if you haven't been vaccinated for a while, reminding you, giving you a place to go for it.
Nice.
And
there's no excuse.
But on the other end, when I first came here to France, probably every pharmacy window had a homeopathy sign in it.
Ooh.
Am I pronouncing that correctly? Homeopathy.
No, that's perfect.
Homeopathy.
Homeopathy.
Okay. Depends on where you grew up. We understand either saying of it.
Well, he's from my neck of the woods.
Oh, so it's pronounced poutine. I got you.
He's from the woods.
I'll tell you about that in a second. All right, Tech.
Down in the ball, kind of, the rambling ball, in the ball, down the
kind of going with this thing. For you, little guy, I mean, was there even a question as to whether or not to do vaccination for you guys? Tech?
Uh-oh. Oh, you're talking to me.
Yes.
Sorry. Brain.
How many techs do we
have? Well, first off, I had all my vaccinations as a kid. You know, mind you, one of my parents is a Jew, one was a Catholic, and I still ended up getting my vaccinations. And I'm actually very thankful for that because, you know, I don't get a lot of calls. I don't get a lot of problems that I see a lot of other people do. The vaccinations worked very well for me. My son, you know, his mother and I may disagree on a lot. We may not have nice words for each other, but at the end of the day, our son has his shots, all of them.
So for you guys, it wasn't even an issue, I assume then.
It wasn't even an issue. And that whole thing with the measles outbreak, that was actually, it was back to an Amish person, who had gone overseas, which is, according to the CDC, the highest probability of contracting measles is, or the statistical analysis is that people who leave country don't get have vaccinations against measles, don't get a booster or whatever it is that they offer, and goes overseas that does have measles. There's a good chance that they can bring it back, and if they do bring it back, they'll be patient zero for the outbreak. And that's what happened. Somebody in the Amish community went out to do missionary work or whatever it was that they were doing, and they came back and they brought it back with them. Now, on a side note, they were talking to the people from that particular community that basically started the problem. And what it boiled down to was that at some point in time in the past, one of the kids had received their vaccination, but they had a negative response to it, which is a possibility because not everybody reacts the same to a vaccination. There's your common group where, okay, the majority of people react this way, and then you have the smaller where some people either they have an allergy to something in it or they don't respond well to it just because of the way their immune system is or body chemistry or something like that. That's with anything, the food. And so when this child had a negative response, that scared their community into not getting the vaccinations. After the outbreak occurred and after a lot of them got sick, a lot of them started going and getting kids immediately vaccinated. So they actually learned from their mistakes. They gained knowledge. It's a hard lesson to learn that way, but they did learn. I've got to give them the credit for that, that they saw their mistakes and they're trying to change so that they don't have that mistake again.
Which is a good thing. Okay,
but
now
you've got to woo people. Say, oh no, they're made from dead fetuses and shit like that. And oh, you got to be kidding me. Yeah,
that's a whole other piece. Real quick, to put this one to bed, really, Joey. As far as your military career, going to different areas, you had to get blasted with all kinds of stuff on many, many multiples of occasions. That reaction-wise, as far as to various vaccinations for different areas that you'd end up in, just to be on the safe side for you guys, I mean, as far as reactions to that kind of stuff, the poor reactions must not have been fun at times, to put it mildly.
Let me put it this way. On the subject of vaccinations, you know, I'm just going to lump all of this together because it's all preventative medicine.
Yeah,
that's the goal, is preventative medicine. So vaccinations included, but among other things, malaria pills.
Mm.
Malaria pills are notorious for a whole lot of
side effects.
Unwelcome side effects. Particularly the way they affect personality, anger management, and sleep disorders.
Wonderful.
However, you don't get malaria, which is the number one killer in history. Let's face it.
That's a pretty good trade-off to me.
Then there is the anthrax vaccination, which is something. It's a 7-part vaccination that you're supposed to get. One shot every about 4 to 6 months over the course of 7 shots, and you're supposed to repeat that after 10 years. However, the military being what we know as a bureaucracy, sadly, it functions just as well as any other bureaucracy. Paperwork tends to get lost. And when you've had the same damn shot 20-some times, you kind of get worried. You kind of get tired of the side effects that are attributed with that. One of the side effects being, I still am not technically allowed to give blood.
Well, wow. Considering how psychotic you can be somehow, I don't think that I'd really want to have any...
I said give blood, not take blood.
Ah, good point.
Maybe you can sell it.
Yeah, that's, it could be. Bogey, who is watching, and thank you, by the way, I have to make reference to this one, by the way, before we get going. Katie, yes, did say earlier, you know, I wave at you when you wave at me, but you can't see me. How dumb am I? I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit. It's okay. That's actually a compliment, in all seriousness. If you feel comfortable enough that if we address you guys through this simple broadcast medium and you feel comfortable enough and engaged enough that you actually feel like we're talking with you, good. That's the point. That's why I look into the camera to you as opposed to looking at the rest of the panel, which is down here. There's a difference. That's exactly the reason for it. That's why everybody on TV looks at you like that.
And then in that line, hello, Stephanie. We haven't said hello to her yet.
We will get to her in a couple of moments. By the way, Bogey is over here and put one word over here, excrement. Now, it was intentional for me, or one of us at least, to find a word other than...
That word.
Poop. The crude word for excrement. But I'm actually going to hit this one for something worthwhile. Normally speaking, we would think of excrement, defecant, I guess might be the right term for it, the number two, to be
manure.
Stool.
Stool. Okay, good. All right, we'll do the free association later.
You don't want to sit on it.
No. Normally, we would think of it as just dirty, and it's something that you should never, ever, ever, ever come in contact with, and it's just waste and refuse, and that's all that there is to it. Yes, I'm making reference to somebody. However, we have found out over last year that there is an actual medical procedure for transferring someone's stool, waste, excretia, from one family member to another to repopulate the digestive system.
And that's the C. difficile treatment, isn't it?
I forget what it's called, but it is an amazing concept that this is kind of like the reverse magic, because normally we would think you never, ever, 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 and you sure as hell ain't going to swallow this stuff. But yet we now have an actual medical procedure for helping people to repopulate their guts with the fauna
flora.
From flora. Sorry.
Yeah.
No. It would be fauna. We're talking.
You know what? Bugs. Let's call it bugs. Let's just call it bugs.
Here they call it cheese.
From whatever. I don't care. The point of it is, you are repopulating the digestive tract with the stuff that you need from others than yourself, from your family, your blood relations, because you share similar stuff. Joey, yeah, go.
There is one exception to what you said earlier about you certainly wouldn't eat the stuff. That is unless you are a koala.
Or a dog. Mm-hmm.
because koalas actually do that with their mother's excrement, because they need the materials in their stomachs, and they're not born with it, so they do actually eat mom's poop.
Which so tell me how that's intelligently Straya. Designed.
Thank you.
That's an intelligent design, yeah.
Intelligent design, yeah. Look at the platypus and explain that one to me.
Well, that's just the fact that God gets stoned.
Again, Straya.
Pretty much.
Look at the platypus. I think you might.
You guys might be interested to know that there is a website that tells you how to safely do fecal transplant at home, DIY.
No. We don't want to go there. However,
the human centipede method?
We're not going there. But, Dallin, what you said...
it involves a turkey baster.
It's not that the platypus is proof of, you know, intelligent design or that, you know, somebody was drunk. It just shows that if there is a God, he does indeed have a sense of humor.
Yes, she does, and she's pissed off in black. How's that? By the way, that was Virginia, so you
I was waiting for that one.
You're welcome. Our good friend Virginia. We'll talk about that another day. She probably won't ever see this one, but you know what? Screw, I don't care. We love you. You keep up the good work.
You know, a friend of a friend of a friend is going to link her to this, and then we are all dead. Let's just put it that way.
What is this we business, sir? She's coming after me, and that's going to be the end of it all.
Yeah, it's something called guilt by association, and last I heard, she actually can cross the border.
Oh, that's not going to be good. Okay, so...
What? There is a place in town that sells maple bacon donuts. I have the weapon.
You're good. By the way, Joey, I'm gonna throw this one for you just because I want to watch you squirm on camera. Think of it this way. Fecal matter transplant smoke. Don't breathe this.
Ew.
No, you know what? There is some... Hold on. Because there is some woo up to the idea of blowing smoke up someone's ass.
As opposed to sunshine. Yes.
I think I vaguely remember that story.
Yes, there is actually
I remember
treatment about that. Apparently, now tobacco is a drug. Plain and simple, it's a drug. It is a substance that alters some state of the human body chemistry. For me, I use it to calm my nerves and, you know, kill my lungs. Just how I do. However, tobacco's medicinal uses have been explored in many different ways. For example, it can be used as a mild antiseptic. If there is actually information in the infantry handbook about using tobacco. I don't recommend this, but you can sometimes rub it into a wound, and it won't be great, but it does act as an analgesic and a local anesthetic. You can also digest it and use it to induce bowel movement, which is important in some places of the world. Let's just say you wouldn't want to drink the water. However, there is actually a old school device that was kept on board ships. It essentially looks like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and link a picture of the kit so that everybody can see that, and if somebody has the ability to post it to the viewers, that'd be great. I don't really have that ability. We all know how screen share works for me. But essentially, you would, in fact, back in the late 1700s, literally blow smoke up someone's rectum. It was used as a resuscitation method for drowning victims.
Okay. How well did that work?
Apparently well enough. Because ships considered it standard equipment.
Damn.
They also thought that women shouldn't be on ships because they were bad luck. But
the idea being, that the nicotine in the tobacco would stimulate the heart to be stronger and faster, which that it does, and thus encourage respiration. And of course, we've seen this has been somewhat scientifically founded, not proven, but founded. Obviously, not something you want to do, though. Is that in the suppository method do tend to absorb faster into the body.
And by the way, I've got the image up on the screen at the moment.
Indeed. So yes, there is actually a method to the madness of blowing smoke up one's ass.
Don't know why anybody would want to do that, of course, but you know, it was a simpler time. You know, when adding bumps onto somebody's head was a good way of changing their life expectancy.
Well, they didn't add bumps. They just felt around for the bumps that were there.
Well, yeah, but if you didn't like what your life was going to be, I'm sure you could just add some more. I mean, we're coming back around to the clue by four thing here. You know that, right?
Cutting away little bits of the skull and, sticking a rod in there to jostle around some of the gray matter. That was always wonderful.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Oh, I was right, by the way. They did use fecal transplant in order to treat C. difficile.
But yes, the term for what I'm describing to you is called a tobacco glycer, which is another word for enema.
Well, there you go. All right. Since we're getting close to the end of it all, I want to hit on one item that has been near and dear to my heart from when I was a kid in elementary school, and it does have something to do directly with magic, sort of. Harry Houdini.
Excellent card game.
I don't know where you were going to go with that, but Harry Houdini. There were two books on Harry Houdini in the library at the grade school as I was growing up, and I kept taking one of them out, signing it out constantly every week, to the point where the librarian actually said, how about we leave this for a week and let somebody else have a chance to take it home, which kind of had me a little bit indignant in my own head because I knew that there were two copies. So, whatever. Item number one. I assume that the entire panel has heard the name Harry Houdini at some point or other. Actually, yes. Better yet, has anybody not? Fair enough. Eric Weiss, born Eric Weiss, was a soft-spoken gentleman who became one of the most famous of magicians, escape artists especially, someone that even James Randi, to the best of my knowledge, has credited with having been inspirational. Harry Houdini was a master escape artist. He learned everything there was to know about every style of locking mechanism of the day. There was not a lock. This is the wrong way of wording it, but it'll get the point across. There was not a lock alive at the time that he didn't know how to best. He was amazing at what he did. Now, to go along with that, he found out about the charlatans, the seances, the mediums, who were saying that they could bring you in and Ouija board and people would be in a dark room with subdued lighting and you'd hear banging and crashing and people would be paying lots of money to go in and talk to their long deceased family. And he got suckered in a couple of times to talk to his mother, who he still adored, and started to realize these guys are just doing tricks that I know how to do. Does anybody know what the rest of the story is at this point in the game?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, I don't.
Okay, Heretic Woman, go right ahead.
He spent time busting a lot of these people, but the big thing was he said, I am going to prove to you one way or another, when I die, I am going to come back, if at all possible, and leave a message for my wife. And she tried for years and years after. She had all these seances and all kinds of crap, and eventually she did conclude that he had, because it was a very specific message that he was supposed to impart back. It wasn't, oh, look, the drapes are flapping, it must be Houdini. It was a very specific message, which escapes me at the moment, but she had to get the specific message back, and after many years of trying, she never did, and she concluded that he wasn't coming back.
It was now, the name of the doctor, by the way.
I'm sorry?
What's that?
It was the name of the doctor.
Ah, okay, thank you.
Wow, a Doctor Who joke falls flat in this place. Is this thing on?
Oh. I'm a Trekkie, man. I'm not...
Maybe I should have said Spock's last name then.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, because let's face it, this isn't Cards Against Humanity.
Yep.
No.
Actually, it would have been Spock's first name, but that's just me being an absolute douche right about now. But to the best of my recollection, if I remember correctly, the message was passed on to his daughter, their daughter, to continue trying to contact on. He died on Halloween, whatever year it was. I've forgotten it off the top of my head. So yeah, they would have the seances. Yeah, but it was a tragic loss because it really was an accident. Mm-hmm. Long story about it. We'll talk about that at another point. The point of it was, he spent the better part of his later life debunking. And getting into the seances and, in costume, in so that people couldn't recognize him because they knew he was doing this and would not let him in unless he was, makeup and costumed and not able to be discerned who he was at first. And he would rip these guys apart, which is not very different from what Mr. Randy is still doing to this day.
That's right.
So here's the question. And Tech, I want you to have first crab on this one. Randy has gone ahead and ripped a new one for all these guys over the years. Uri Geller, Peter Popoff. Why are these people still in business?
I was watching something on the Discovery Channel, I believe it was, or one of those channels, and it was talking about the gullibility of the human brain and what they had learned from talking to psychologists and other doctors and papers and studies, and that is the human brain has a default mode, and that when you hear something from somebody who speaks with confidence, okay, your brain automatically attributes a level of authority to that information that's being given to you, and automatically operates from a position of, they are telling me the truth. Okay, so by default, people naturally want to believe the first thing that they hear. It takes time, and you can see that in children. If you see a child who has not been taught how to think critically, how to ask questions, how to be a skeptic, and you tell them that, the sun looks yellow from here, but if you go into outer space, the sun looks white, they will believe you. Now, some might say, whoa, or whatever, and what I'm telling you is the truth. Learn this through NASA and all our space programs and everything else, that the atmosphere filters out a certain level of visibility. So if you look at the sun outside the atmosphere and don't go blind, it's a white light. But if you tell them it's going to be blue, they're still going to believe the same thing because they're operating from that default, I want to believe. I believe what tells the truth. When you raise that child to not question, they're going to have that state of mind into adulthood. And religion teaches you, by default, do not ask questions. So you are destroying the inquisitiveness that will eventually develop in any child as they get older and as they gain more experience of the world around them. So even though you've debunked stuff, you have people operating from this frame of mind that has been reinforced to not question the first thing they hear, to take it as fact, and to fight back, to operate from a defensive mode when somebody gives you contradictory information. That is the biggest reason I can think of as to why when you walk up to somebody and say, look, I have this stack of empirical evidence that has been peer-reviewed that can be proven over and over and over and over, you know, test and test and test and test. This is 100% fact. And then we'll go, well, you know, I don't believe you.
It's just your opinion,
man. You know, I'm sorry, but you're blowing smoke out of your ass, you know, whatever the case might be, because they have been taught not to.
Joseph, I want your take on this one, too. Why do you think these charlatans are still doing their thing, no matter where it is?
Well, I wanted to say something, but Tech just covered it quite nicely. Just the lack of, critical thought, because if you're not, people like Psy10, they'd like to say that, oh, we all believe in God by default, but no, that's not it. It's we believe in authority figures. And until we get to an age where we have to fend for ourselves and we have no choice but to trust ourselves, that's how it would be in nature. But, you know, if we had to go out and hunt for ourselves, for example, but we don't have to do that anymore. So critical thought is really an option today. And if critical thought doesn't kick in, you're not going to question. Actually, the information itself doesn't even matter. If you trust the source, where it's coming from, or you distrust the source, if you distrust the source, you're just going to reject it. It just doesn't register. That's why you get this does not compute look on some people's faces when what you're saying counters what they were taught. Because they don't trust you, and your information doesn't correspond to what they were taught by trusted leader, so to speak. So until you can change that mindset.
Like it sounds like you're talking about group mentality as well.
Well, that's kind of secondary, because you've got the appeal to authority working, and you've got the appeal to popularity, because you're surrounded by people with the same mindset as you. So if they're doing it, it must be right.
Yeah. Heretic woman, how about for you?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do as well with this need for hope and the need to, you know, if you're presented with data or information that goes against what you wish would happen, you, for instance, if you have an illness that you really want cured and they're telling you, well, here's what we can do, it's not going to be a cure or whatever, you're going to want to cling on to some kind of extra way of coping and that hope that there's something out there that conventional wisdom doesn't know about, or there's some kind of secret knowledge that, you know, they don't want me to know about, so I'm going to keep looking and I'm going to cling on to some of these quacks that they seem credible, and they're presenting you with that secret knowledge that, you know, you're privy to and they're privy to, but no one else is. And that's one of the ways that they manipulate people. If you've ever seen ads for books like, you know, secrets that the medical field don't want you to know, and they play on that idea that society and the powers that be are trying to subvert the common person for their own personal gain, which, sure, that happens, but it's not nearly as widespread or as subversive as a lot of these Wu-Meisters want people to believe. They use that as a hook kind of thing. I've got the super secret knowledge, the magical cure that's going to help you, and I'm sharing it with you because I can tell you're special kind of thing. And it's really pathetic.
Joey, you're going to get your chance over here too. Naturally.
I'm trying to remember who the speaker was. It's from one of those TED conferences.
Mm.
If you know what I'm talking about.
TED Talks.
TED.
It was this gentleman who was talking about learning and pretty much pointing out that, you know, children are inquisitive by nature. It's what they do. They're constantly exploring the world around them. And we kind of kill that over the years through school and through upbringing. We model them to be cogs to fit into our plan for society.
If I can add something, I was, yeah, sorry. Yeah, we're all brought up in this obey model, basically, whether religious or not. I mean, we're all expected, there's an ideal that's presented to us and we have to fulfill it without question. And if we do question it, when I was growing up, I guess I started thinking pretty young, but I would ask my parents why. You know, why do you want me to do this? Why are people doing like this? I don't understand. And I don't know if that's normal in modern day children, but that creates problems. So if you don't stick to the obey model, then you're already, you're different, you're outside or whatever, and that creates problems in itself.
The gentleman whom I'm remembering is a fellow by the name of Sir Ken Robinson. And yes, we have to put the sir in there. His argument was that if we want to keep having visionaries in our society, we have to break this model of learning. And honestly, I don't know what else to say on the matter. I mean, I'm in full agreement with him.
Nothing wrong with that. If that's where you want to go ahead and stick it and just say, and that's all I got to say about that, that's, we'll give you Louisiana drawl and we'll just stick it right there. That's all I got to say about that.
Every once in a while, if you look on Reddit, you see something really interesting, but even more funny is when you see something that's on topic to what you're talking about. Somebody posted in Advice Animals of Reddit the comment of, "My anti-vaxxer coworker is, quote, so pissed someone with measles spread it to Disneyland, unquote, right before their vacation."
But
wow.
I just...
Wow.
All right, we'll just...
Go ahead and run with it. My brain is now, you know what, more caffeine.
No worries. Dallin, go ahead, man. Why are these guys still doing what they're doing?
I've read Deepak Chopra. I've read...
How?
Just...
That's my question. How the hell are you still here without the whole drool thing? And...
But you don't understand that the basic neutralities of the neurophysics neutrality of the.
you can talk your quantum.
Insane reading lots and lots of hentai to compensate.
Okay.
No, you have to read it with Caesar dressing.
You do that.
You're understanding the quantum level.
Let me frame this in a little bit of context.
Go ahead.
At the time, let's just say things were not that good in the household. Financial problems, work problems, creditors banging on the door and calling on the phone. Lots of money coming in, but all of it going out. A real air of desperation on the day-to-day. When you get to that state, when you're at a point where waking up in the morning seems completely not worth it, you get into a mindset where you're willing to listen to anything that's going to give you that glimmer of hope. So I got the books. I got The Secret, courtesy of my ex-wife.
Oh my
I got
God.
A book from Deepak Chopra. I got, there's a couple of others that are actually sitting up in my closet just because I have an aversion to book burning. It's an anti-Nazi thing. Just, you know, go with me on this. But I can see where, even though people have been, you know, guys like Geller and stuff have been debunked, I can see where from one generation to the next, they can still prey on people because there are still folks out there that deal with that sense of desperation. Am I going to pay my bills this month? What's going to get cut off next? Are they going to take my car? Am I going to keep my job? Is my job going to demote me and cut my pay? You get to a point where you're honestly living with a sword of Damocles over your head, figuratively speaking. You're willing to listen to anything in the hopes that they'll offer you a way out of that spiral. Now, thankfully for me, well, I don't know if you can really call it thankfully, but after my divorce and after things kind of got settled down, I suddenly realized that now I was more in control of my own life. I was no longer responsible for anybody else's life other than my own. And I was able to lay down the right discipline I needed to get out of that spiral and get out and enjoy life a little bit more. And I didn't need the quantum. I didn't need The Secret. I didn't need all this other excrement that people were peddling to say how you can live a better life. Now, I'm one of very few who learned that and was able to prosper from it. But I can see where peddlers of woo, of the magical cure, there's your hook, Joseph, right there, about the, you know, how is this all magical? Well, that's really what it is. They're trying to sell you the magic cure for life. You know?
It's almost like the get rich quick scheme. But it's the get the better life without really trying scheme.
Well, yeah, it's maximize your life with minimal effort.
Yeah.
And you look at anybody, Joel Osteen, I hate to say it, I got one of his books too. I've almost wanted to start reading it so that I could laugh and maybe have like, no, and maybe spend some time completely destroying his philosophy. I think that would be a beneficial pastime. But I can see where people can still, where charlatans can still thrive, because so long as people are desperate for a way out,
yeah,
this
they're
is
doing
what
they're doing it because it works. That's why they're doing it. And religion has set the stage for this because they've taught us to find solutions in anything that's not reality. I mean, that's what they're teaching us. That's where the solution is. Yeah. And we're taught not to question reality.
Yeah.
And
but now coming at it from a romantic side, and I don't mean in that respect, but okay, so you've got people that claim they can move objects with their mind. Well, how cool would that be if that actually existed?
Or, Luke.
Yeah, no, but think about it. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole throwing a nun in front of a bus joke, Shujin, so don't worry about that. Well, think about it. Human nature. If we all had powers like the Force, could you honestly not use it to be an asshole?
Very, very difficult not to.
Let's just say that there would be an awful lot of people that would be getting thrown in front of cars, off of buildings, yeah, into jet engines. Actually, that would look kind of cool. Kind of that Fargo vibe going. But
we all have it. We all have it in us to have superpowers. I mean, for example, you know, common sense is becoming very rare. So when your common sense is tingling, you know something's up.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be pretty bad when we can get when we can actually have a superhero named Critical Man and his power is nothing more than a skepticism.
That would be Doug Walker, the nostalgia critic.
Or it could be Colbert. Or it could be a few other people that I can think of that are on mass media right now who are actually doing exactly that job and doing it well.
But don't believe that the people, less people are thinking. That's what the media is saying, because you're getting more and more, as these guys get more and more desperate, you're getting more and more woo out there.
That's where I was going to go with that, was to paraphrase Penn Jillette. He is, for those of you who don't know, Penn Jillette is one half of the performance act known as Penn and Teller. They are
more than one half.
Yes.
Arguably, yes. However,
I've met the man. He's huge.
What you do in your spare time is your business. Well,
they are magicians, but they are also skeptics. Some of the best skeptics.
Yes.
If you ever hear, I know this is not a Power of Ten show, but if you ever get the chance, go watch a Showtime show called Bullshit. That is the name of the show, which is why we're going to go ahead and say it. And it goes through all of these various different kinds of woo and breaks them down from, you know, head down to toe, breaks them down, investigates them, and cracks them wide the hell open. But he is constantly commenting on the rules of magic. The first rule, never do the same trick twice, at least not in the same venue. Second, never tell how it is done. And third, never reveal your prep work. It's the greatest superpower that we all have, whether or not we use it. Persuasion. Mm-hmm. Well, persuasion and misdirection. They are two superpowers that can be used for good or for ill, and have been throughout history.
And that's right where I'm going to stop you, because that's going to lead right into what I've got. The idea of magic, of why do we believe in this stuff, is very nuanced. It's tough to answer, and it's frustrating to even think of the question, because there are so many charlatans through the ages who, for lack of any other way of putting it, and again, romanticizing it, use their powers for evil. And I don't believe in quote-unquote evil as its own entity. As a method of doing something, sure, yeah, I can see that. But as a thing, no. So there was something that came through on my Facebook feed from, I could not even begin to tell you where. But it said, it was an image, text image, that came up that said, God is up to something. There is a reason why you went through what you went through. Trust the process. He's got you.
Yeah,
I made a comment about this one, and this probably came through one of the probably the Atheists on Air groups.
Yep.
And I made a reference. I made a statement that said, "I am not gonna chime in on this because I would soapbox this like you wouldn't believe." So I decided I was gonna hold off on it, and I would do it here. God is up to something. There's a reason why you went through what you went through. Trust the process. He's got you. I'm going to start off with something that came through also recently. Stephen Fry, who was asked about what would happen if you died and there you are at the pearly gates and there's God. What would you say? And he had some brilliant, wonderful things. He started off by saying something to the effect of bone cancer in children. What's up with that? Now, as much as I hate the whole what's up with that cliche for a joke, spot frickin' on. He made reference to parasites that dig into the eyes of children and then eat their way out from the center and cause permanent blindness. Why? What possible reason could there be for such an item, for such barbarity? And this is just in nature itself. And this is something that could happen to anyone or anything that happens to be apparently mammalian minimally or with eyeballs extantly. And this is supposed to be good? Now, what has this got to do with magic? It's simple. All of this is supposed to have been magically created because it was spoken into existence? You want to believe that. That's perfectly fine. You want to believe in some. You want to believe that the woman was cut in half, cut into threes, and pushed aside and separated until one side is over there and one side is over there. That's fine. You can. You want to believe that. That's fine. You know what? I got no problem with that. But when you go ahead and you say that this same woman is able to vote three times because she's now three people, and you want to make that a law, we're going to have words. And those words are going to be no. Because what you believe is completely separate from what is. You want to believe in magic, you're going to have to show me that that is real. And by definition, it ain't. There is a quote that I have used many, 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 many times. And I even quoted it at my wife's wake. Even though it got my brother to roll his eyes. And before I quote it, somebody also on Facebook had made a reference to a double-sided photo meme. One side had Hitler saying something about the rights of the individual have to fall before the rights and the rights of the society. And then put that side to side with Hillary Clinton saying something similar and trying to say that, you know, well, she said the same thing that Hitler said, so it's got to be wrong. No, but Hitler was a bad person. It's almost universally accepted. Charles Manson may have said different, so, you know, it's only 99.99999% accepted as universal. But still, just because somebody is wrong about a great piece of information like genocide is okay, doesn't mean that he was wrong about everything. Sometimes a watch face is right once or twice a day. Depends if it's a 24-hour clock. But just because this came from a TV show doesn't mean that the sentiment is wrong. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be much worse if life were fair? And that all the terrible things that come to us come because we actually deserve them.
Yeah.
So now I take great comfort in the general hostility and unfairness of the universe. I take that to heart. I have to. Because, as I coined sometime thereafter, the universe does not care one whit for us. It is neither malevolent nor generous. It simply is. There's no magical thinking that's going to change how things are. You can't simply hope that you're going to win the lotto. You can't wish for an amputated arm to be regrown overnight. God does not heal amputees. And by that same token, hoping fervently will not change how something is going to be, because it will be what it will be. Complex though it might be to try to understand, it will simply be. No matter what it is. Is it good or is it bad? Is it evil? Is it good? Is it neither? Is it a tool? That depends on how it's used. All of our history, all of our lives, all of what I like to refer to as the tapestry of society, all depends on what you make of it. You can do good. You can do bad. You can just do. But you will have done. There's nothing magical about that except for one simple piece. You're here. Now. And you can make a difference by simply doing. That part's not magical. The part that is that you're actually here and able to experience it and make your own determination. Because, like was said, if we had magic, then we all would. And really, to quote from another movie, once everyone is super, then no one is. But we'd be able to see that, wouldn't we? Sometime, somewhere. Until I've seen it, I can't accept it that it is. At least, not yet. As always, everyone, thank you for taking the time to spend part of your night or whatever it is with us. We know full well this is not exactly the sexiest of podcasts or vlogcasts, but we still think that all of our perspectives are worthwhile and we have something worth listening to. As always, I would like to thank the panel for taking the time to stay awake and conscious with us tonight. Dallin, thank you for your time. You stay warm up there.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
Heretic Woman, you too, stay careful with all the snow coming again.
Yeah, it's not too bad so far.
So far.
Famous Tech, last words.
Yeah, Tech, you take care of yourself, and of course, as always.
I think we're getting some rain down here. We're supposed to have sunny weather for a few days over the week.
Gloat, gloat, gloat.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know what Aaron Rod did, right? He took a picture of himself riding his motorcycle, T-shirt, and his open-finger leather gloves on a motorcycle down in Texas while the snowstorm hit the north.
That was very kind.
Dude, I've had some cold days, okay? But, seeing it's sunny doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be warm, okay? But I'm not doing what he did.
Okay, if it's raining, it's a hell of a lot warmer than it is here.
I'm going to take umbrage with that in a couple of seconds.
I'll trade you because I love this snow.
Yeah, no problem, because I hate it.
Joseph, flip my way.
Thank you so much, and good morning to you.
Yeah, the sun's just coming up here, so take care.
Enjoy it. Joey, thank you so much, and you have yourself some good rest, huh?
Yeah, no such thing. Just remember, folks, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Or yep. Once, if it's a 24-hour clock, but whoever has one of those. I know. It just happened to be that I saw a wristwatch that had a 24-hour face recently, and that's why I came to think about it.
Yeah, I've seen those too.
Yeah, Russian, if I remember right, but who can read those Russian numbers on the faces? By the way, Heretic Woman, I was making deliveries to the south towns about an hour's drive away from Buffalo this past week. I was coming back when it was minus 17 Celsius air temperature and ground temperature, and I was running into wet rain that was coming down on the van's front windshield, considering I was driving effectively an oversized aluminum can with virtually no weight to it. I have a single finger that I would like to show you later when we're off the air. But in any case, everybody, I want to take the moment to especially thank a lot of the podcasters that are out there, and I'm not going to name you all off individually because there are too many who have been inspirational and have supported us and helped us. This is episode 51. Next week will be 1 year's worth of shows. And yes, I know, it's just an arbitrary number, but it marks a year's worth of effort that we've put into this so far. And I am very, very proud of that. I didn't think that it was going to last. I didn't know that we were going to make it. Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, everybody tries, and a lot of people try. Lucifer's Ladies, unfortunately, didn't survive past a couple of months, if that. And I'm not knocking you guys. You guys tried, and you know, good on you. But the point is, we've made it so far, and we're really looking forward to adding to what we've got for you. We talked about that off the show. We are going to be working on changing, not changing what we're doing content-wise, but changing how the content is going to be distributed. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. But we may be able to do something to help this take off a little bit more. So those of you that have been supporting us, thank you. Thank you so very much. And all of you hosts who have been with us, if you had the opportunity, love to have you for next week. I'm going to see about making the call out to Noah, Heath, and Lucinda to find out if they can come on with us next week for a little while at least, because we kind of broke each other's cherries, so to speak. We were the first show they were on for video, and they were our first guests on the show. So I'm going to get in contact with them and see if they would be so kind as to stay conscious and un-alcoholed enough to be on with us long enough. And those of you that are watching, if you have Twitter...
Make sure it's a Power 10 episode.
No. That's why it's going to be so delicious to see how this plays out. If you have Twitter, if you have G+, if you have smoke signals, and if you can get down there and knock on their front door there in what, West Buckgott, Virginia, wherever the hell they are.
I think Georgia.
You know what? I don't care. Wherever they're hiding out, wherever the witness protection program has put them, tell them that you want them to come back. Because we've been doing good. And Lucinda, I'm tasking it on to you to grab them both by the ear, sit them both down at the table, and don't use Heath's computer this time. Please, for the love of all things, don't. Put the VIC-20 away. Just use the other one, okay? That's all I'm asking.
I don't think she'll be grabbing them by the ears in particular.
What they do in their spare time is their business. I'm not going to impinge on that. But in any case, we need to get out of here because it's late. I don't know what's coming through on the Google Hangout chats, but we'll get to that. In the meantime, again, thank you all. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us and give us information for whatever reason, please get in touch with me, shujintribble@gmail.com. Please put in the subject line, holy crap. You can get me on G+, Twitter, Facebook, Skype, whatever the hell you want, under the name Shujin Tribble. And if you would like to send a text message or a voicemail, please utilize the voice line, which I keep forgetting is there up on the screen for you, 859-HCTV-554. No, I don't have a direct Twitter account for the show or a domain or anything like that. Working on some things. We'll see about that. But in the meantime, good night, everybody. You take good care of yourselves. As always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you all well. For my wife, of course, as always, Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. And as a side note, for Rafe, I believe was his name.
Rafe Badawi.
Rafe, our hopes, our strongest hopes that this is all done. If you have nowhere else to go, the inscription on the Statue of Liberty invites you, if nothing else. Our best hopes. Good luck. You may need it. Until next week, everyone, we'll see you soon. As always, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.